Success principle number one. Take 100% responsibility for your life with E plus R equals O. In order to become a major success in life, to achieve those things that are most important to you, you have to take 100% responsibility for every aspect of your life. As I mentioned earlier, in 1969, only 1 year out of graduate school, I had the good fortune to go to work for W. Clement Stone. He was a self-made millionaire worth $600 million at the time, and that was long before all the dot-com millionaires came along in the 90s. When I was completing my first week's orientation, Mr. Stone asked me if I took 100% responsibility for my life. I responded, "I think so." He said, "This is a yes or no question. You either do or you don't." "Well, I guess I'm not sure." "Have you ever blamed anyone for any circumstance in your life? Have you ever complained about anything?" Yeah, I guess I have." "Don't guess," he said. "Think." "Well, yes, I have." "Okay, then. That means you don't take 100% responsibility for your life. Taking 100% responsibility means that you acknowledge that you create everything that happens to you. It means that you understand that you are the cause of all of your experience. If you want to be really successful, and I know that you do, Jack, then you will have to give up blaming and complaining and take 100% total responsibility for your life. All the results, both your successes and your failures. That's the prerequisite for creating a life of success. It is only by owning that you have created everything up until now that you can take charge of creating the future that you want. You see, Jack, if you realize that you've created your current conditions, then you can uncreate it and recreate it at will. Do you understand that? Yes, sir, I do. Are you willing to take 100% responsibility for your life? Yes, sir, I am. And I did. And if you want to create the life of your dreams, then you're going to have to take 100% responsibility for your life as well. That means giving up all your excuses, all your victim stories, all your reasons why you can't, and why you haven't up until now, all the blaming of outside circumstances. You have to give them all up forever. You have to take the position that you always had the power to make it different, to get it right, to produce the desired result. For whatever reason, ignorance, lack of awareness, fear, getting to be right, your need to feel safe, you chose not to exercise that power. Who knows why? It doesn't matter. The past is the past. All that matters now is that from this point forward, you choose, that's right, it's a choice, you choose to act as if, that's all it requires, to act as if, that you are 100% responsible for everything that does or doesn't happen to you. If something doesn't turn out as planned, you'll ask yourself, how did I create that? What was I thinking? What were my beliefs? What did I say or not say? What did I do or not do to create that result? How did I get the other person to act that way? What do I need to do differently next time to get the result I want? A few years after I met Mr. Stone, I learned a very important formula from Dr. Robert Resnick, a Gestalt psychologist in Los Angeles, that made this idea of 100% responsibility even more clear to me. The formula is E plus R equals O, and what that stands for is event plus response equal outcomes. The basic idea is that every outcome you experience in life, whether it is wealth or poverty, health or illness, intimacy or estrangement, joy or frustration, it's the result of how you've responded to an earlier event in your life. If you don't like the outcomes you're currently getting, you have two basic choices you can make. You can blame the event for your lack of results. In other words, you can blame the economy, the weather, the lack of money, your lack of education or racism, gender bias. You can blame the current administration in Washington, your wife or your husband, your boss's attitude, the lack of support. You can blame the political climate, the system or lack of systems, and so on. If you're a golfer, you've probably even blamed your golf clubs and the course you played on. No doubt, all of these factors do exist, but if they were the deciding factor, nobody would ever succeed. Jackie Robinson would never have played Major League Baseball. Sidney Poitier and Denzel Washington would have never become movie stars. And Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer would have never become United States Senators. Aaron Brockovich would have never uncovered the chromium-6 contamination of the water in Hinckley, California by PG&E. For every reason why it's not possible, there are hundreds of people who faced the same circumstances and succeeded. Lots of people overcome these so-called limiting factors, so it can't be the limiting factors that are limiting you. It's not the external conditions and circumstances that stop you. It's you. We stop ourselves. We think limiting thoughts and engage in self-defeating behaviors. We defend our self-destructive habits like drinking and smoking with indefensible logic. We ignore useful feedback. We fail to continuously educate ourselves and learn new skills. We waste time on the trivial aspects of our lives, and we engage in idle gossip and eat unhealthy food, fail to exercise, spend more money than we make, fail to invest in our future, avoid necessary conflict, and fail to tell the truth. We don't ask for what we want, and then we wonder why our lives don't work. It's not them. It's us. Most of us are unconscious, out of control, and don't even know it. But this, by the way, is what most people do in life. They place the blame outside of themselves on the events and circumstances over which they think they have no control. The other option you have is to simply change your responses to the events, to the way things are, until you get the response that you want to get. You can change your thinking, change your communication, change the pictures you hold in your head, your images of yourself and the world, and you can change your behavior, the things that you do. That is all you really have any control over anyhow. Unfortunately, most of us are so run by our habits that we never change our behavior. We get stuck in our conditioned responses to our spouses and to our children, to our colleagues at work and to our customers and our clients, to our students and to the world at large. We are a bundle of conditioned reflexes out of control. You have to regain control of your thoughts, your images, your dreams and daydreams, and your behavior if you want to be successful. All of these need to become intentional and aligned with your purpose, your values, and your goals. E plus R equals O. If you don't like your O's, your outcomes, then you have to change your R's, your responses, because the E is just the way the world is. 2 plus 2 equals 4. The 2 of the world isn't going to change. If you want 5, you're going to have to do 3. So let's look at some examples of how this works. Do you remember the Northridge earthquake? Well, I do. I lived through it in Los Angeles. At that time, I woke up at 3 in the morning. Our house was shaking. My son came running into our room. We spent days cleaning up afterwards. More importantly, were people up in Palmdale, just north of Los Angeles. The interchange to Route 5, the main feeder artery into Los Angeles, had fallen down, and now everyone was going to have to take surface streets to get into L.A. Traffic was at a standstill. I remember watching CNN a couple days after the earthquake, and they had a camera crew out interviewing people. In the first car, they knocked on the guy's window because traffic wasn't moving at all. They said, "What do you think about this?" He said, "I hate California. First there were fires, then floods, now this earthquake. That's just perfect." He was really angry. They knocked on the next car. They asked the guy how he was doing. He says, "No problem. I've got music cassettes in here. I've got language tapes I'm listening to. I'm learning Spanish." He said, "I've got a coffee and a thermos. I brought my lunch. I even have a book to read. I left my house at 5 in the morning. I don't think my boss can ask for more than that under the circumstances. So I'm doing just fine." Now, if the earthquake and the traffic were the deciding variables, then everyone should be angry. But everyone wasn't. It was their response to it. They were either thinking negative thoughts or thinking positive thoughts. They'd either left the house prepared or left the house unprepared. They'd either left early or left late. It was all a matter of attitude and right action. A friend of mine owns a Lexus dealership, and when the Gulf War broke out, people stopped coming in to buy Lexuses, or we should say Lexi for any fellow Harvard graduates and Latin students that may be out there. They knew that if they didn't change their response to the event called "Nobody's Coming In," they were going to slowly go out of business. The normal response in that situation would be just keep doing advertisements in the newspaper and on the radio and wait for people to come in. But that wasn't working. So they decided to try a number of new things, some new responses. The one that finally worked was to take a fleet of Lexuses out to where the rich people were, country clubs, marinas, polo grounds, parties in Beverly Hills. And they'd show up and they'd ask people, have you ever driven a new Lexus? And if they said no, they'd say, well, would you like to test drive one right now? And the people that did, they said afterwards, would you like to drive this car for a whole week? And if people said sure, they just traded cars. At the end of the week, the people wanted the Lexus. I mean, think about it. Have you ever test driven a new car and got back in your old car? You know that feeling of dissatisfaction? Your old car was fine up until then, but now that you've driven the new car, you have that comparison. They started selling 65% of the people that tried this a new car. They changed their response until they got the outcome they wanted. They actually started selling more cars than before, and they still use this method even though they don't have the same external environment out there in terms of the political world and the economic world. It's working. You can go through life as a victim, or you can go through life as a victor. The choice is yours. Let's take a look at complaining for a minute. Complaining is a response that a lot of people employ in their lives, but it's not a very useful or effective one. When I'm complaining, it means that I have a reference point for something that I prefer, but I'm not willing to risk creating. If I'm complaining about my wife, it means that I have an image in my mind of a better person out there, or a better way of being treated than I'm being treated now. Otherwise, I wouldn't be upset. If every woman in the world suddenly died except my wife, would I be complaining? No. There'd be no other options. This is it. One woman, and I've got her. See, you never hear anyone complaining about gravity, do you? Why not? Because gravity simply is. There are no alternatives to gravity, unless you're an astronaut. So we just live with it. We use it, and we play with it. But we don't complain about it. If you're complaining, it means you believe there's something better that you could be experiencing. But to get it, you'd have to take a risk. In this case, the risk would either be to leave the marriage and look for a better partner, or to stay in the marriage and through asking for what you want, learning better relationship skills from reading books and listening to audio programs and taking personal development and marriage enrichment seminars, or maybe engaging in marriage counseling, you'd end up improving the relationship. Did you ever notice that when you complain about something, it's usually to someone who can't do anything about it? You complain to your coworkers about your wife, and you complain to your wife about your coworkers. You're telling the wrong people. If you have a complaint, share it with the person who has the power to do something about it. State it as a request. Life gets better when you start taking action and making more requests. Why don't we do this? Because we're afraid of the other person's reaction. We're afraid they might say no. So what? You already have a no. It can't get worse. It might get uncomfortable for a while, but it will ultimately get better. It's like when you remodel your kitchen. It gets messier for a while, but then when it's finished, it gets a whole lot better. Remember, complaining won't change anything. Blaming others for your lack of results won't change anything either. You see, nothing changes until you do. Nothing changes until you do something different. Until you take a risk to talk straight about what isn't working for you and state clearly what it is that you need and want. Remember that if what you're currently doing was enough to get you more than you're currently getting, guess what? The more would have already shown up. But it hasn't, and it won't until you do something different. Part of taking 100% responsibility is taking the position that you create or allow everything that happens to you. By creating it, I mean that you directly set it up. Be like going up to a guy in a bar who's bigger than you and has obviously been drinking for a long time, and you say to him, hey, you're really ugly. He jumps off the bar stool and he hits you in the jaw and you end up in the hospital. You created that. That's an easy example to relate to. Here's one that may be a little harder to swallow. You work late every night. You come home tired and burned out. You eat dinner in a coma and then sit down in front of the television to watch a basketball game. You're too tired and stressed out to do anything else, like go for a walk or play with the kids. This goes on for years. Your wife asks you to talk to her. You say, later, not now, I'm too tired, or wait until the game is over. And then 3 years later, you come home to an empty house and a note that says she's left you and taken the kids. Hey, you created that one, too. You create all kinds of messes in your life by leaving late for work, telling lies, drinking too much, ignoring your parking tickets, not getting regular medical checkups, not exercising, not getting enough sleep, not properly maintaining your car, not paying your bills on time, not saving and investing any of your income, smoking, not spending time with your kids, not disciplining your kids, avoiding the uncomfortable conversations, watching too much television, arguing with your boss, ignoring feedback, not planning and preparing, and not delegating enough. By allowing, we're referring to inaction, not doing the things you need to do. You didn't take action when you needed to, so you let things happen to you. Maybe you didn't set a boundary, or you didn't stand up to injustice. You didn't confront an unfair situation. You failed to press your point, or you gave up too easily. Or you didn't get regular medical and dental checkups. You didn't floss your teeth. You simply allowed the bad things to happen to you. For example, maybe you didn't take time to sign the petition, so now there's a microwave tower in your neighborhood. Or you didn't take the time to educate yourself and vote, so now you've got a corrupt mayor or a corrupt city council. Maybe you didn't demand that your husband join you in counseling, or you'd leave the first time he hit you, so now you're still getting hit. Maybe you didn't attend any sales and motivational seminars because you were too busy, and now the new kid just won the top salesperson's award. Or you didn't follow through on your threat to take away privileges if the kids didn't clean up after themselves, and now the house looks like a war zone. Or maybe you didn't tell your partner that the financial split wasn't fair anymore, and you're still getting taken advantage of. Or you didn't take time to take the dogs to obedience training, and now they're totally out of control. Or maybe you didn't demand that he wear a condom, and now you're pregnant. Or you didn't go back to school, and now you're being passed over for a promotion. Or you didn't say, hey, you're too drunk to drive, and now you're in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. You didn't leave when you saw the drugs, and now you're in trouble with the law. You're not a victim in these circumstances. You chose to stand passively by and let it happen. You didn't say anything or do anything that would have made a difference. You didn't make a demand. You didn't make a request. You didn't say no, and you didn't leave. It's important to acknowledge to yourself that it didn't just happen to you. There were probably lots of signs that you ignored. I call them yellow alerts after the Star Trek television show. When a yellow alert was sounded, there was still time to change, still time to avoid the disaster. In our daily lives, we tend to ignore the yellow alerts because paying attention to them would require us to do something that's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to confront your spouse about the cigarettes with lipstick on them that are in the ashtray. It's uncomfortable to speak up in a staff meeting when you're the only one who can see the handwriting on the wall. It's uncomfortable to challenge your 17-year-old son about the smell of beer on his breath. But we're all getting clues, little yellow alerts, all the time. There are external yellow alerts, like he keeps coming home later and later. He has alcohol in his breath. He screamed at the little girl next door. His mother warned you. Your friends told you. And there are also internal yellow alerts. That inkling you had. That fleeting thought that just maybe. That intuition. That fear that emerged. That gut feeling. But we pretend not to see and not to know because it's easier and more convenient, less uncomfortable, safer. It keeps the peace. It means I don't have to take any risks. But to be successful, you're going to have to risk being uncomfortable. You're going to have to get out of what psychologists call your comfort zone. Former congressman turned workshop leader Ed Foreman has a great quote. He says, "Winners are those people who make a habit of doing the things losers are uncomfortable doing." Winners are those people who make a habit of doing the things losers are uncomfortable doing. Wow. Making a habit of stretching ourselves, doing the uncomfortable thing, following our intuition, trusting our gut. E plus R equals O. Now, there are three kinds of R's, three kinds of responses. One is the thoughts you think. Two, the images you hold in your head, your dreams and daydreams, both consciously and subconsciously. And finally, your behaviors, the things that you do, the actions that you take, the inactions that you don't take. These produce the outcomes you're currently getting. Now, your outcomes could be the level of intimacy you experience in your relationship, the quality of your sex life, the amount of money you have, the state of your health, your weight, the level of your physical fitness, the results you produce at work, and the levels of fulfillment and satisfaction and joy that you experience. If you want different, better outcomes, more joy, more money, better health, increased intimacy, more fun in your relationships, to lose weight, whatever it might be, you're going to have to change your thinking, the images you hold, and the things you do, your behavior and your habits. You can't keep lying around and never exercising, drinking 3 beers a day, not drinking water, not taking supplements, and overeating fast foods and expect to stay healthy. It simply won't happen. Likewise, you cannot continue the same behaviors at work and expect to get better results, higher sales, increased output, or a raise. If you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll keep on getting what you've always got. It's that simple. Now, the rest of this course is designed to teach you new responses that will guarantee you a higher level of success in every area of your life. New, positive, empowering, and goal-oriented thoughts. New, successful images of yourself. And new behaviors, habits, and disciplines of success that can take you to the next level.